Hi, I'm Lori Fisher with Rethink Home Interiors. I can help you get your home sold quickly. How? Let me help you stage your home to sell. It's still a buyer's market, so let me help you separate your house from all of the others on the market. You can call today for your personal staging evaluation. Contact me for an appointment at 610-724-1108 or visit me at rethinkhomeinteriors.com.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. Today, I'm excited. We have Lori Fisher from Rethink Home Interiors. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Lori has a fun job. Lori is a full-service real estate staging company. So, Lori, since this is your first time on the show, tell us how you started with your whole business.
Well, I think it probably started in 1978 when I realized that I could move the furniture in my bedroom. So ever since then, I've just had a passion for all things home. And when you skip spring break in Florida with your friends to go home and stencil your bedroom, you probably have an issue.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So naturally, I ended up in pharmaceutical sales.
Oh, of course you did. That.
So anyway, after several years of doing pharmaceutical sales, I really needed to do something that filled my soul. And I looked back to those early roots and I thought, geez, I think I can mingle the sales and marketing that I've learned over the years with my love of interiors and decor. And I started my business in 2011 doing real estate staging.
That's really great. I think everything you do in life, it brings you to where you are today. And I think that definitely yes. applies to you. And hopefully everyone uses their gifts when they do so, as you have. So tell us, why should you stage your home when you're selling it?
Yeah. So the internet has really changed the way that we sell, both from the perspective of the way a home gets marketed, but also the way that buyers have access to information today about your house. When I bought my first house in 2000, there was no realtor.com and Zillow.com, and the realtor held all of the information. I didn't get to see the inside of a house until I was actually inside of the house. Today, we have online listing photos. And what happens with online listing photos is that people will put in their criteria, you know, number of bedrooms, price point, community, and then a whole list of homes will pop up. And they are starting their sorting process right there at the computer. We know that more than 90% of people start their search that way. Mm-hmm. Once they start their search and they've identified the houses that look good to them in the online photos, they then reach out to the realtor and schedule a showing. So from that perspective, your photos have become incredibly important. And that's why staging has grown the way it has, because our skill set allows us to help you keep that in mind, the focus on the online listing photos, and stage your home in a way that it will jump off the page when somebody's looking at it online.
I would think that HGTV has probably helped your business. I know at one point no one understood what staging is or how it could increase the value of your home or having your home being able to sell it at the designated selling price. So I would think that TV has helped. Is that true?
It definitely has. Absolutely. I think the more share of voice, this goes back to my sales and marketing days, the more share of voice you have around anything, a product, a service, an idea, the more mainstream it becomes. And I've seen just in the short time I've been in my business, the 4 years, the continued growth of people's understanding of the importance and the need to stage and their willingness to explore it as an option for their marketing.
So, okay, what's the difference between staging and interior design or decorating?
It's a great question because they are very different, and a lot of people think that they are the same, and they're really not. So I mentioned that piece about the online listing photos. When we are staging, we keep that in mind, and I'll walk through a home with a client, and I will actually get out my phone with the camera function on and look at the room and understand how the realtor or the photographer is going to shoot the photos, and then we compose the room in order to capture the best aspects of that room in a photo. And we don't think as much about the function of the space, what preferences the homeowner loves, needs, wants in their home. It really is more about creating a beautiful photo that appeals to most buyers. And when I say most buyers, we know that many times we're the likelihood that we're selling to somebody younger than us is very high. So we have to keep that in mind. But in decorating and design, we're really thinking about all of those things I mentioned that we don't consider the function of the room necessarily, or the colors and how they, you know, how the homeowner loves them or hates them, and, you know, all of that. So
yeah, I know I fall in the category as I cannot visualize. Like you've said, since you were younger, you could visualize a room when things are moved and the colors and the functionality. But I think that is a wonderful help to those who don't have that ability to visualize a room differently and the way it needs to be for the mainstream in order to sell it. So I think that's really great. That's great. Now, do you offer interior design also, or?
We occasionally will work on decorating and design projects. Our main focus is the staging. We feel like that's where the strength in our business lies, but we're happy to entertain a decorating project here or there. And, you know, sometimes it's not even so much about the project, but maybe more about the client. They just, you know, they resonate, we resonate, and we just think, you know, we want to take that because they seem like they'd be wonderful to work with. So, but yeah, staging is really our core business focus.
Okay, that's great. So how do you stage a home to sell it?
Yeah, so I think that, again, we go back to that online listing photo is the key. And I would encourage anybody to walk through their home with a camera, because what's amazing is this, and you and I were just talking about this, what you see in real life is sometimes different than what a camera lens can capture. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I always talk about, you know, when you go to a party and you see yourself in that dress that you thought was so fabulous, and then you go, oh, wow, I didn't realize it hit me quite like that. When did I get a
it's
double
good
chin?
To have another eye. Yeah.
When did I get that double chin? So I encourage everybody to do that because it's a really useful tool, and it actually helps you see your house better when you're looking at it through the lens of a camera. And the other thing that people have sometimes a challenge understanding is how pared down things have to be. You almost have to think of a hotel room. When you walk into a hotel room, there is very little in the way of accessorizing on, you know, nightstands, on the desk they provide, and really staging your house is very, very similar. A lot of people have a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'll count myself in there. But if you're staging your house, you have to remember those, you know, a lot of accessories don't photograph well and things like that. So, but I would say start with the camera first.
Lori declutters the double chins in your home. So, okay. So what is the most important thing a seller or realtor needs to get the house staged and ready to sell?
Yeah. I mean, I think that piece of one, removing yourself from the process and recognizing that it's an important step today. I think that's sometimes the hardest part for people. We love our homes. We end up feeling very comfortable in our homes. And we, as a result, don't see our homes the way they're going to end up looking in an online listing photo, or ultimately, you know, the messages they may convey to a buyer. So I think walking through with, you know, kind of removing yourself from it with the camera again, or somebody who you trust, who you think will tell you the truth, you know, is an important step to take. But I think the most important thing is realizing that every house probably could use staging. Even the neatest homes can always use staging, and that you, it's a different beast, and you should explore it and, you know, implement.
I think so too. I think we all need an outside unbiased eye. I think the decluttering and organizing the areas are probably very important, which we all probably can use just on a daily basis.
Yes.
But also, now, do you rent the furniture? Do you restage the existing furniture in someone's home?
Yes. One of my favorite things to do is when we do a 2-hour staging evaluation, we will actually shop the house. And, you know, a lot of times what we'll find is that one room may have more furniture than is actually needed, and another room may have less than is actually needed. Okay. And a lot of times we can be moving things from room to room, or, you know, we need bedside tables. So, hey, we'll look at these two little bookcases for in your children's playroom. There now, your nightstands, you know, okay, things like that. So, that's...
You can be creative that way.
Absolutely. And then we do fill homes with rental furnishings and accessories when somebody has moved out already. But that's, very different situation than actually living in your house. We typically start with shopping the house first and then assembling a list of anything that we think needs to be added.
Or taken away.
No,
mm-hmm. That's really great. So tell me a little bit more about the staging evaluation, a 2-hour service that you offer.
Yeah, so the staging evaluation is up to 2 hours. And what we do is we walk through with the homeowner and sometimes with the realtor as well at the same time. And we'll go room by room and we'll do exactly what I said. We'll talk about how the room's going to be photographed, how we can make those photos look their best, what needs to be packed up, you know, what can stay, what can be relocated. We'll poke through closets, as you mentioned. All those closets that are, overflowing with things, they tell somebody that your house doesn't have enough storage. And that could be completely untrue. Cupboards that are overly stuffed in the kitchen or a pantry, again, they tell people maybe there's not enough storage. So we'll go through all of those kind of little private, we'll get all up in your junk.
Yeah. Good thing you look very trustworthy there, Lori.
And we'll build our room by room plan. And then when we're done, we give such specific direction that many of our homeowners are able to execute the plans entirely themselves. And to me, that's the most rewarding because, and I know this may sound, maybe a little funny, but there's a mental shift that happens. We all experience it. Whenever we clean out a closet or organize a space, we feel so much better. And when we feel better in our spaces, I really feel like that energy gets conveyed and it imbues the house. And I think a lot of times that just that mental shift means a lot in the fast sale of a home.
I would agree. When you declutter or de-junk or, it's such a cleansing experience.
It's fabulous.
Everyone should try it. So how can our audience find out more about your 2-hour staging evaluation?
Yeah, well, I have a website, www.rethinkhomeinteriors.com. That's rethinkhomeinteriors.com. And that's the best way to gather my contact information and reach out.
List of services there. Please come back and join us for our second segment with Lori Fisher from Rethink Home Interiors. This is Balanced Life, and I'm Renee Gable, the host of In Touch Marketing.
Be the center, be my source, be my life, Jesus.
Hi, I'm Lori Fisher with Rethink Home Interiors. I can help you get your home sold quickly. How? Let me help you stage your home to sell. It's still a buyer's market, so let me help you separate your house from all of the others on the market. You can call today for your personal staging evaluation. Contact me for an appointment at 610-724-1108 or visit me at rethinkhomeinteriors.com.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and we are still here with Lori Fisher from Rethink Home Interiors. All right, Lori, we're learning so much today, the decluttering, the organizing, the staging of a home. So let's see what we want to talk about on our second segment. You've been teaching us how to stage our homes and sell them faster and to dwell happier, but I'm sure there are mistakes that people make when staging the home themselves. So what are they?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think the biggest one that people tend to make is just overall, we all have it. I think I alluded to it earlier, which is kind of house blindness. We tend to not see certain things in our homes. And, you know, I get a kick out of this whenever I go home to my childhood home, which is beautiful. My mom's done a beautiful job. But when I look at it through the eyes of a stager, I see it very differently than I do as a child who grew up in that home. And it's so I think that's the first thing. And that's where that camera becomes very important. The other thing is that what people don't realize is how far you have to go in your pre-packing phase in order to make the house look its best. You actually have to be quite ruthless and pared down as far as, you know, taking things almost entirely off your kitchen counters, for example. Most people don't realize that, you know, you have to pretty much clear everything off, or not realizing that family photos, you know, small photos on walls, things like that, they don't read well in a photograph. So those things should come off of a wall. The other thing is that your house sends messages. And I mentioned a couple of those earlier, like lack of storage space would be one where, you know, a linen closet is overflowing with towels and sheets and, you know, hair care products or something like that. That says no storage. Whether it's true or not, those are kind of snap judgments that a buyer will make. Also, some of the things that people can assume from your home is, you know, if maybe you've painted, but, you know, you're not the best painter, you know, how well cared for has this home been? You could have completely updated windows and, you know, plumbing and all of that, but sometimes people get nervous if they see things like, you know, unkempt paint or maybe stains on carpet that speak to maybe the bigger condition of a home. So all of those things really matter. Pretty much everything matters.
Everything matters.
Not to overwhelm.
It's a balanced life and everything matters.
Everything matters. It's all important. And I think I wanted to say that too. With the staging mm-hmm. evaluation, the one thing that I have learned is that people really appreciate the plan. I say that it's peace of mind in the form of a plan, because when you know what to do and you know that somebody who's experienced is telling you that this is what you should do, you feel better about it. You feel more in control. And there's so much that you're not in control in the real estate process. You're not in control mm-hmm. of what the offer is going to be and when. You're not in control of the inspection report or the appraisal and all of that. This is one aspect where you are absolutely in control. And that gives a lot of people peace of mind once they realize, okay, here's my to-do list, room by room, I can get this done.
Yeah, I've seen on your Facebook and your YouTube channel, you teach people how to organize in 30 days, or you give them tips, because yes, I do see this as an emotional time, and you do have to take the emotion out of it. And I think that plan, as you're saying, does help you do that. Mm-hmm. You have an action plan, you're executing it and staying focused, and you will help people if they do feel overwhelmed. You will actually help them, not just with the plan, but also executing
we do
the job.
We have a wonderful team in place that helps with, you know, any or all of it. You know, we have one plan where it's pretty much the kick back and sip champagne plan, because we'll take care of
I like that
everything
plan.
Right up to the sale.
That's great. I like that option. So does every area of the house have to be staged?
That's an awesome question. Yeah. And the answer to that question is typically no. According to research, there are a couple of things you have to really focus on. The first is, in a study that was done where researchers looked at the eye movements of people viewing online listing photos, what photos they stayed on the longest and what went back to the most frequently, that was the front of the house. So that picture actually has to be in place on your online listing photo, and you have to make sure that your curb appeal is really beautiful as a result. But you know, you don't have to spend thousands. Make sure your mailbox looks nice, your front door is painted, maybe some mulch and some new flowers, and the lawn is mowed. I mean, it doesn't have to be new hardscaping or anything like that. The other rooms that I say that most people should focus their time, energy, efforts, and finances in are those first few rooms that people see. We know that people make, you know, a judgment within the first minute whether they're going to buy or not. So I always say, you know, if you've done a great job on those first few rooms, the pink and black bathroom circa 1950 upstairs will not matter. But if you haven't addressed that, that same bathroom becomes one more thing on a long list that people are already overwhelmed with in your house. So spend the most time in those first few spaces. If it means wallpaper has to come out because it's old and dated, then that's where I would do it. But you could leave that same wallpaper up in a third bedroom.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, that applies for when we bought our home, but I definitely agree. They make that decision from the curb appeal to the first few rooms, and that's it. So we're such a visual society that everything you're saying makes sense, mm-hmm. but I'd never thought of it from the restaging eye mm-hmm. myself, or the staging eye. So Lori, tell us what your service area is.
Well, locally for hands-on work, we cover that was Montgomery and Bucks all mixed together there. Yeah. we also cover Chestnut Hill, Manayunk, and Roxborough in the city, as well as the Main Line. And then online, I actually mm-hmm. teach a course twice a year, helping homeowners across the country learn how to stage their homes themselves. And I have also worked with homeowners where we have them photograph their spaces, and then I review their homes with them and give them a plan based on what I see. So I can really work with anybody anywhere.
I can imagine we could Skype you in if we had
to. Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, that's wonderful. And you have an awesome record. Tell us about the homes you've staged and sold.
Yeah, so it's really funny. I have a business coach, and my business coach said, after hearing my story, he said, you know, you should call yourself the Days on Market Eraser, which I loved.
Oh, I love that.
Because 85% of our houses sell in the first 2 weeks, and many of those will sell in the first weekend. Just last week, we had 4 houses sell in the first 3 days, which to me is so amazing, because I feel like when somebody commits and they do this work and they reap that kind of benefit, we can literally move them forward in their lives. And that is, to me, more meaningful than any, you know, bowl of fruit I can put on a counter.
It's true. And that's, you know, brings it back to a balanced life, being able to move people forward. They're probably transitioning, downsizing or upsizing when they meet you. So, and you do work with realtors and sellers directly, correct?
I do. Yeah. I get inquiries from both sides of that equation. I get inquiries from people who are getting ready to sell. And then I have those that have been on the market and they're looking to do something different to sell.
That's great. And that, like we said, that is a balanced life, being able to move forward. But Lori, as a business owner, a career person, a mom, and a wife, how do you balance life on a more personal note?
Wow. Yeah. I'm not sure that I do very well all the time, but I think I'm forgiving. And I realize that, you know, the to-do list in my life a lot of times can wait for me, understanding that not everything's an emergency, and understanding and knowing that I may not get to everything, but I do the best I can. And smile.
Yes,
and laugh.
I do love the forgiveness part and the humor side of it too. So how would our audience get in touch with you to help them stage?
Yes, the website is the best place to go. You can learn more about me and my contact information right at rethinkhomeinteriors.com.
Thank you for joining us today, Lori. I learned so much. I hope our audience did too.
Thank you for
teaching us how to balance our lives. I am Renee with In Touch Marketing Concepts. Thank you for joining us today on Balanced Life, because a balanced life matters.
Hi, I'm Lori Fisher with Rethink Home Interiors. I can help you get your home sold quickly. How? Let me help you stage your home to sell. It's still a buyer's market, so let me help you separate your house from all of the others on the market. You can call today for your personal staging evaluation. Contact me for an appointment at 610-724-1108 or visit me at rethinkhomeinteriors.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Medvesky, Medvesky Law. Are you losing sleep at night thinking about debts? Worried about your mortgage payment, college tuition, or car payments? And on top of that, credit cards and other debt? Fresh start may be what you need. Bankruptcy could be the answer. I offer free consultations. Contact me at Medvesky Law. My phone number is 215-660-3170, or you can visit me at medveskylaw.com. That's MedveskyLaw.com.
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing Concepts. And today we have Mark Medvesky with Wells, Hoffman, Holloway, and Medvesky. So my goodness, that's a lot to say. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. How about you?
Good. Glad to have you back. You were here in June, so we're happy to have you. You are a consumer, bankruptcy, immigration, wills, living wills, and power of attorney. Attorney. So last time we spoke about immigration, and today I thought we're talking about a timely subject about renting or leasing an apartment or a home, with so many people going on vacation in the summer, renting a home.
And this is the time of year, summertime, when people have been transferred. They start moving their families. They may have gone ahead and And now they're actually making that move. So it's a good time. I've handled a couple clients, and I thought this was an easy or decent topic to consider, because one of the problems or one of the issues I see is people either enter or leave a lease in an emotional state. I mean, when you go out and you're looking for a new home, you're excited, you're looking for, it's kind of a new start, and so you can be overwhelmed by the experience. And then of course, if you find problems, you're upset, you're concerned, and you tend to make bad decisions and you leave that premise. So this is something to talk about.
It's a good subject, and I know you're going to say you have to read the fine print. that's probably what people ignore.
Well, you have to read everything, and you have to consider everything, and consider what it means if they invoke that clause. I'm dealing with a client right now. They entered into a lease, had a reason to they feel, and I think they did, to break the lease or cut it short. But one of the things they had on the back of the lease was a cleaning schedule, how much it was going to cost to clean the carpets and do this and do that. And they just kind of ignored it, thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm going to clean the house, it won't be that bad. But clearly the landlord has retained the right to have a professional cleaner come in and do that. One of the things on it was $400 to come in and bring a dumpster in and take out the trash. Because, you know, when people leave, they don't necessarily leave on trash day. So they gather everything up and they kind of set it there waiting, you know, for trash day. And the landlord needs to clean the property and get the stuff off the property. So he hires a company to come do it, and they get charged for it. So you have to read everything, and don't think it's not going to apply to you. You need to think, what if this occurs? How is it going to impact me, and can I afford it? Because if you can't, then you got to negotiate that.
And I think that's good. You bring in an attorney that knows all the fine print and can read all that, but help guide you in what's going to be the best options for you. And can you change a lease then? Can you make a request to?
It's a contract, and that's what you have to remember. You're entering into a contract just like any other company or person or entity would do, and it's binding. And absolutely, you have a right to ask. Now, certain times, there's going to be policies in place with companies that they're not going to change their contract, and then you have to weigh the risk versus the benefit. There's other times they'll say, okay, yeah, we can change that for you. You're going to have a better chance if you're renting a converted home from, you know, kind of a mom and pop landlord kind of thing, and you're going to have less of a chance if it's a conglomerate like, well, I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, but the professionally run, professionally built apartment complexes are going to have less.
They're dictated by corporate on what they
have. So you won't have a lot of chance to negotiate it. But, you know, to your point, that's something that attorneys, that's part of our function. You know, I'd much rather counsel somebody on what they're getting into than try to have to litigate to get them out of something. So by all means, if you're going to enter into a new lease and you don't understand what it says, or you want to get a second opinion what it says, you should definitely come into my office or into your attorney's office and go over it line by line if that's what will make you more comfortable.
I think some of us say, oh, that won't happen to me, or that doesn't apply to me. But you really have to be prepared for all circumstances.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm okay. I'm just giving you a break to cut.
Oh, okay.
you do have to consider all circumstances, because you don't know. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. And there's things that happen during the term of a contract that may give you an opportunity to leave that contract. But you have to understand it. You have to understand what your rights are under it, and then exercise your rights according to the contract and the law.
You talk about document condition. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, a lot of people, when they come into an apartment, the apartment complex, will give them a sheet that'll tell them to write everything down that they see wrong with the apartment.
Okay.
And again, they don't see it. They're busy trying to get their furniture in, make sure the dog is taken care of, and they're not paying attention. And so what happens is there's a big stain in the carpet that was never that was there when they got there. They realized it a day later. They never documented it. And then when you leave the apartment, the landlord wants to charge you for new carpeting for the carpet that's already been damaged, and you have no proof that it was damaged when you moved in because you didn't take the time to document it. So if they give you a worksheet, you should go through room by room, wall by wall, windowsill by windowsill, and look and see if there's damage that's not been, is not annotated anywhere, not marked up anywhere. And if you see it, you should mark it up. And you should show it to your landlord, and I'm assuming the landlord would sign off on the write-up is just like you would.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is everybody has cameras in their cell phones. You know, take the pictures, store them. Take pictures of everything. You know, it's always interesting. You go into the magistrate's office and you're litigating a claim that something was damaged or wasn't damaged, and your client has pictures of everything but the part of the room which is being disputed.
Of course. That's how that goes. Murphy's Law.
Right. So go through before, when you get the keys, before you put the first stick of furniture in, you should walk through the entire apartment and document any damage that you see. And, you know, keep notes. Maybe something was painted. Maybe there was a water stain that was painted over, but it wasn't done well. And in 2 months, it comes out. You know, take a picture, put, you know, have a date, something that dates it, so you can show that it's been a problem. Again, the client, one of the clients I'm dealing with, dealt with, is they had 2 or 3 days after they moved into her apartment, there was a gas leak. The gas company had to come in and out of the apartment, and the gas company is the one who dirtied the apartment. The landlord, according to the tenants, they told the landlord was going to get was going to clean it up, but again, this lease was terminated short because of some other issues. And now the landlord's saying, well, you got to clean up the carpet. We're going to charge you to clean up that carpet. And the tenants are saying, well, wait a minute, that wasn't us. We didn't do it. But it's, you know, again, we told you it was this, it was that. There's no photographic
evidence
of that. And I don't think there's any written evidence making a request to get the gas company to fix it up. So that's another issue.
Yeah, I've always seen the leases and the contracts covering the landlord, but you're right, the tenants and the renters are really the ones that need to equally cover themselves and protect themselves.
Right.
Too.
And,
yeah, that's.
And there's clauses. There's Pennsylvania had this practice. It no longer applies to residential leases and hasn't for a long time, but you'll see it in some of the some of the old-fashioned leases. It's called a confession of judgment clause. And you have to be careful because confession of judgment clause works in a commercial lease, but not in a residential lease. And what that basically says is the landlord can go into court and confess your guilt to the problem that they're having and then take action against you. And you don't even have to be part of it because you're signing away your right. It's almost like a, you know, you talked about power of attorney that I do in the beginning.
Boy.
It's almost like a power of attorney in the contract. Again, residential lease is not a problem, but you'll see them. And it should scare people when they see it, and they should ask the questions. And it actually should be removed. It shouldn't be left in the contract, even though it's not enforceable against a resident. But in the same token, you have, you know, an individual person starting a business and they've done their own residential leases and they go to do commercial space and that clause is in there and they don't understand it. And next thing you know, they have a dispute, the landlord's in court getting a judgment against them and they didn't really even know it was happening because of the commercial aspect and the clause. So there's things in leases that people really need to understand.
Yeah, and again, more reason to have an attorney that works with these contracts and things and helps you with the what you don't know and you're not going to know. So to bring you in and help with to facilitate and learn.
And, you know, I'm not an attorney who will tell you not to take the lease. I mean, you need, you know, if you have a business reason, you have a family reason, for instance, it's a school district you want to be in, or, I mean, there's reasons for doing what you're going to do. I would be the last person to say, oh, this is a bad deal, you shouldn't do it. I just tell you what your risks are and you need to understand.
Yeah, make you aware of it or if you have the ability to negotiate.
Right, right. Yeah. And you go through it. And that's what, that's, that just kind of gives you, puts you on a little bit better footing when you go into it so that you can either negotiate or at least know what your exposure is, what your risks are when you go, when you go to leave.
So true. I would never think I would be in responsible for the cost of a dumpster, or I just thought you filled the nail holes in and you were good to go, maybe vacuum. So, I mean, I would never have thought of that.
And you know what? And these clients didn't, because as we're looking at the notice, my client was going, but I cleaned everything, but I cleaned everything. Now, I mean, again, we'll have to look at the list and see how it all fits. But, you know, again, I asked my client, I said, well, when you left, did you take any pictures? And he was like, no, I didn't. And so how do you, when the person, when the landlord has possession of the property, mm-hmm. and he or she or the company says that the carpet was destroyed, how do you
prove it?
How do you deal with that? Right.
And one person's clean's sometimes different from another person's clean too. So,
well, you know, that's really a good point. And you got to realize that a landlord's clean is different because he wants to move someone in that space as fast as he can.
True.
Or she can. Mm-hmm. And clean to the tenant is, well, look, I didn't leave rotting food on your floor, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I swept it and you know, I was living in it, it was okay, but that's not how they're going to rent it out.
Yeah, I guess definitely two different perspectives there. But that's a reason to call Mark Medvedsky. At what phone number?
Phone number is 215-660-3170. And in case you heard me here earlier, I have merged firms. It was Medvedsky Law, and it is now Wells, Hoffman, Holloway, and Medvedsky. 215-660-3170. Thank you.
Come right back and we're going to have more talks with Mark. I am Renee with In Touch Marketing Concepts.
Be my source, be my life, Jesus.
Hey everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Mark Medvedsky, Medvedsky Law. Are you losing sleep at night thinking about debts? Worried about your mortgage payment, college tuition, or car payments? And on top of that, credit cards and other debt? Fresh start may be what you need. Bankruptcy could be the answer. I offer free consultations. Contact me at Medvedsky Law. My phone number is 215-660-3170, or you can visit me at medveskylaw.com. That's medveskylaw.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable, with In Touch Marketing Concepts. We are still talking with Mark Medvedsky with Wells, Hoffman, Holloway, and Medvedsky. And we were talking in the first segment about being a renter or a tenant and what to look out for in the lease and the contract. But this, I think, segment, Mark, we want to talk about how do you rent out your own property and what should you look for?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, there's some restrictions on landlords, and you know, Pennsylvania law is really tight. It's to protect tenants. So, you know, if you're going to rent property, you should understand the law too. You know, one of the things you need to do is most people take security deposits, and depending on the size, what you're doing, one, you're limited to 2 months, I believe it is. But you're limited on how much you can take. And it, depending on the on what kind of landlord you are, it may have to be deposited into a separate account, at least for the first year. You know, a lot of small landlords will take the deposit and they throw it in their bank account and then they go ahead and spend it. And that can really become a problem on the back end of a lease. So so they should do that.
No, that's great. Now, I've heard that it's hard to evict someone. Is that true?
No, I mean, actually, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it. You have to.
How many have you evicted, Mark? That's maybe what we should ask.
No, actually, unfortunately, I've had one or two of my clients evicted.
But it's
not hard, but you have to follow, you know, the law. You have to file. You have to give service. You have to give so many days notice. Then you have a right to, the tenant has a right to come in front of a magistrate. Depending, again, the magistrate, it's a person. So depending on what their background is, how they feel. And the tolerance of the law allows one way or the other will all impact your income or your outcome. Mm-hmm. And so you should consider, if you're not a professional landlord, a lot of professional landlords know how to do it and they do it well. But if you're not a professional landlord, you should engage an attorney also, because you want to make sure all the paperwork's done correctly. You want to make sure that everything's calculated the right way. And so that when you do present yourself in front of the magistrate, you have everything lined up and you don't have it being dismissed or pushed down the road because of technicality.
Okay. So you not only could guide a tenant or a renter through a contract or process, you can also help a novice landlord set up a contract, what they need to have in there, what would cover their assets and property and building and such.
Absolutely. Yep. We could do that too.
Commercial and residential both.
I have done both. Working with commercial and residential leases. And, like the tenant, when the landlord gets ready to put out, you know, set up a piece of property for lease or actually turn over possession, they should do the same documentation. They should walk through with a camera or video camera, get every corner, show the condition in which they are giving their property to the tenant. So if there's any disagreement of what the status was at the time of the turnover, they have proof. Because let's face it, when someone is moving into a property, they're moving furniture in, and you get a mover who bangs up against the wall. Maybe you didn't notice, you didn't notice the wall was clean or when you first moved in, and then all of a sudden you're sitting down and you say, oh, wait a minute, the landlord left us with this big, you know, gaping scuff or hole in the wall, and that's not really true. It's something that you're going to be that the tenant should be responsible for as they exit. One of the things that I've dealt with tenants or with landlords is, or either side, is carpeting is huge. You know, nobody wants to put in carpeting because it's expensive, mm-hmm. and it always looks worn after you've left it.
True.
So, if you're doing a residential lease, landlord should definitely pay attention and make notes of the condition of the carpet, because the first thing a tenant says when landlord tries to clean or replace a carpet is, oh, well, that's the way it was. It was a beat carpet when I moved in. And, you know, again, you lived there for 2 years and the condition can change a great deal. Landlords also should keep in mind that normal wear and tear is not something the tenant has to pay for. Normal wear and tear is something that is just part of doing business. Mm-hmm. And normal wear and tear is just part of doing business. It's the upkeep of your asset, you know. So don't think that just because a person lived in your apartment for 3 years and it's going to take a good amount of cleanup to get it in the right condition, you know, if that's what a normal place would look like after you lived in it for 3 years, it's not necessarily what you should, that's not something that the security deposit should be paying for, you know?
I think that's good to know. And I think, the contract does help both parties know what the expectations are. Mm-hmm. And then the attorney hopefully facilitates the communication between both parties to make all this whole process easier in the beginning and the end.
Well, absolutely. And hopefully if you do it right in the beginning, mm-hmm. there is no problem in the end, because everybody understands what they're supposed to do or get when they leave. And maybe even if there's a misunderstanding, you're at a point where you can talk it out as opposed to engaging attorneys at the end, because that's mm-hmm. the expensive part.
Yeah.
The other thing landlords need to know, especially novice landlords, is if you have a reason to keep a security deposit, you're required within 30 days after the property is vacated to provide written notice. If you don't do that in writing, and I recommend a formal letter, even though we don't send letters in this day and age, and it should be, I would recommend to my clients that it be certified so you get a return receipt showing that they received it, explaining to them what has to be paid for and why you're keeping the security deposit. If you don't, there's financial penalties the landlord can suffer for not doing that.
Interesting.
If they get sued by the tenant to have that deposit returned.
Yeah, what do we do with these millennials that are renting and they don't write anymore? Going to have to text them and have proof of texting or something. I don't know.
I had a client who had printed off his text so we could show that that there was communications and that there was no indication that there was a reason to keep a security deposit. And then a year later, he gets a note from his landlord that says, oh, yeah, you destroyed the place. We're keeping your deposit. And it's like, oh, no, you can't do that. And fortunately, that was a good case for me. I came out.
Okay, good. Okay, you were on the winning side. That's what we like to hear.
That was pretty clear. And even the judge at the time said, Mr. Smith, if you're going to continue renting properties, you should understand how this all works. So that sort of gave me the idea.
We laughed at a text, but it really, it's still a form of communication.
That's right.
So.
And people should remember, text can be pushed out to email and email can be put out to a printer. A writing doesn't mean it has to be a formal contract. A writing is a writing. And also keep in mind, anything you write is construed against you. So if you write it, then the onus is on you if it's not clear or ambiguous.
No, that's good to know, and definitely learn a lot to know on both sides of that. So what else do you recommend for the homeowner who's going to rent their home or apartment? What else can you recommend that they look out for or do?
Well, I think they need to, some of the things I was talking about, they need to consider what it is going to cost if they're going to have a professional cleaner come in. And they may have to. I mean, under rules and laws, to have to repaint, they may not be able to do it themselves. So they should be ready to be able to recognize when they have to pay, what they're going to have to pay on the outgoing side, make it clear what they expect they're going to have to keep from the deposit. So when they do send that letter, it's not a big shock to the tenant.
Mark, thank you for coming in today. Mark Medvesky with Wells, Hoffman, Holloway, and Medvesky. How can they get in touch with you if they need help with a lease or a contract?
You can give me a call at 215-660-3170. That's 215-660-3170.
Thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and this is Balanced Life, because a balanced life matters.
Be my source, be my light, Jesus.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. Shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL.
Hi, I'm Mark Medvesky, Medvesky Law. Are you losing sleep at night thinking about debts? Worried about your mortgage payment, college tuition, or car payments? And on top of that, credit cards and other debt? Fresh start may be what you need. Bankruptcy could be the answer. I offer free consultations. Contact me at Medvesky Law. My phone number is 215-660-3170, or you can visit me at medveskylaw.com. That's MedveskyLaw.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.